Matt Reister, Executive Director for Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. Thanks for your interest in this episode of Homer Larson Live, which is a series of sermons preached live by Pastor Homer Larson, who served as senior pastor at Nazareth Lutheran Church in Cedar Falls, Iowa from 1953 to 1996. I'd also like to say thanks to Western Home Communities and Fresh Wind Ministry for sponsoring the Homer Larson Live series. You'll have a chance to learn more about their organization and ministry during the announcements at the end of this sermon. And one more thing before we get into it. The Homer Larson Live series does not exist primarily to raise up a man, but rather to raise up the gospel of Jesus Christ and the truth of God's word, which the Lord gifted and used the man, Pastor Homer Larson, to communicate clearly and passionately. We pray that you will be inspired. We hope that this will help raise the bar around preaching for everyone who listens, and we trust that God will accomplish his purposes through the message you're about to hear. I'll talk to you afterwards. Thanks again for finding us and making this a priority.
Father in heaven, you have said in your word that heaven and earth will pass away, but your word will not pass away. Help us to understand that truth this day. And as we live in a society that would cast that word aside, or else interpret it in such a way that the meaning is completely lost, that we who have been touched by that word, by both its law and its gospel, may understand the importance of the only authority that we have for our faith and life, that which you have given to us, the inspired record. Hear our prayer that we ask in Jesus' name, and for his sake, amen. Friends in Christ, last Sunday's television program, This Week with David Brinkley, originated at St. Thomas's Theological Seminary in Denver, Colorado. You know that the occasion was that Pope John Paul II was there observing a youth festivity. And so ABC sent out its weekly panel to talk over things as they were happening in the Roman Catholic Church with three guests. And the one who impressed me the most was Cardinal John Foley, who was the Vatican spokesman on matters that deal with ecumenicity and change within the Church. David Brinkley, together with his colleagues Sam Danielson and Cokie Roberts, chided the Pope on his dogmatic stand, his uncompromising position on the teachings of the Roman Catholic Church. They went on to ask him, at times almost embarrassingly so, why doesn't the Church change? Why doesn't it change its position on women? Why doesn't it give its priests the right to marry? Why does it not at least rethink birth control? Why doesn't it give some serious thought to the more complicated problem of abortion? Cardinal Foley was very gracious and even more fluent, in my opinion, than the other panelists who are very fluent. But he went on to say to them, if Roman Catholics of the past came back to life again and went to church, they would find many changes in the church. He began to list them. He said, for example, they would find that on Friday they could eat meat. They would learn also that as they came into the church, they did not have to renew or review their Latin, but that the Mass would be said in the vernacular, in our case, in English. And they perhaps would be astounded that there were good close relationships in the community with other Christians of the Protestant persuasion. But these same people would understand that there has been no doctrinal change in the Church. That is exactly the same as it was when they were on this earth, and it always will be. Then he began to distinguish between divine law, moral law, that cannot be changed, and church law, which is human law, and that can be changed. As he began to bring out these changes, saying to them, now note, divine law, that has been given to us by God, by the inspiration of his Holy Spirit. There is no way, Pope, nor no one else, who can ever change that moral law. Church law, coming from the pen of the human being, it can be changed where it is felt necessary. The cardinal went on to say that it is entirely possible that the day could come when priests will marry, can marry. Nothing will have changed as far as the dogmas of the church are concerned. That's a church law put down by men and women. And the results are that the church has felt comfortable with that and felt that there was an advantageous position there. But it could change. He also went on to say that the position of women in the church is changing, and that perhaps there will be greater changes in the future. But again, he came back with this, moral law will not change. Here I was more interested in reading the faces of the panel. And it is my opinion, and I may have missed it completely. But I taped that. And I've watched that at least a half a dozen times. It appears to me that at that particular time, when he says moral law does not change, that Brinkley, Donaldson, and Roberts stood there with faces given the expression, you don't mean it. I can't believe it. What do you mean that moral law can't change? They didn't say it. I interpreted it that way. But then when you go on and listen to the rest of the conversation, it became very, very apparent to me that they didn't understand. God's word cannot change. And I think they are symbolical of the vast majority of people who live in these United States today. But the person who bears the name of Jesus Christ understands well that the Word of God does not change. The Bible makes very clear reference to this. What is the moral law? I speak now not of the ceremonial law, but of the moral law. The moral law is the Ten Commandments. The moral law is that command of our Lord Jesus Christ when one day somebody asked him, what is the greatest commandment that you have? And Jesus turned and said to them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these words stand the law and the prophet. And Jesus was saying to them that the law of God does not change. For example, in one of the portions of scripture that Pastor Coltbed read for us this morning, these are the words of Jesus. I tell you the truth. Until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. The law of God does not change. The cardinal was referring to Scripture. He was absolutely 100% right. Moses, for example, in the fourth chapter of Deuteronomy, verse 2, said, you shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. The psalmist, as has been read, said, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it, how? According to the word of God. With my whole heart I seek thee. Let me not wander from thy commandment. The word of God, the moral law, as the cardinal said, does not change. And again, I repeat, that's what many do not understand in our day. Well, Donaldson did this, and he looked at him, and if you know Sam Donaldson at all, those penetrating eyes looked at him as much as to say, you stupid person of the clergy. Maybe I'm doing him an injustice. If I did, forgive me, God. But he looks at him and he says, but can't you understand, Cardinal, that your people are leaving you? They're leaving the church. That certainly would be the clincher, wouldn't it? To sit down and to begin to make some changes? The Cardinal was precious at this point. I can't believe I'm standing here in the pulpit talking about the great emphasis of the Cardinal of the Roman Catholic Church. My mother must be spinning in her grave. Can't understand that anything like that would ever happen. She wouldn't even let me have two dates with a Roman Catholic, say nothing about stand in the pulpit. But the Cardinal was precious at this particular point. He turned and he said, do you mean to tell me that we should succumb in the church to the popular opinion of our day just to keep people? Let me tell you, Mr. Donaldson, let me tell you that Jesus had all kinds of followers. But because he would not make adjustments to what the followers wanted, they began to go away. And in the sixth chapter of the Gospel of St. John, Jesus is together with his disciples one evening, and he turns around to them and said, will you also go away? And Peter, the spokesman for the crowd, turned around and said, Lord, to whom will we go? You are the one who has the words of eternal truth, life. In other words, we're not going to leave you. And those who have been grabbed with the gospel of Jesus Christ are not going to float out of the church. And those who are floating out of the church for this reason, they can't believe it. And what they can't believe, many today cannot understand, that the Word of God, does not change, neither law nor gospel. Now we experience all kinds of changes in the church too, don't we? 45 years ago that I was ordained, I tell you, the Lutheran Church has changed in those years. Some for the better, maybe a few things, some of us would say not for the better, but we have changed, we have merged. There used to be many of these little Lutheran synods. Today we have all but gotten the crowd together into two major groups. That's a change. Some of us kicked up our heels on some of these merges, but it really didn't make any difference as far as the Word of God was concerned. We have changed as far as ways to communicate the gospel is concerned. I could never preach today exactly the way my pastor, who was a tremendous preacher when I was a kid, preached. You'd all be asleep. We have come up against television, and we know that part of our preaching has got to be entertaining. And if it isn't, we lose you after the first 3 or 4 minutes. That changes. Obviously it changes. There are differences in our worship service. Just in my life, I was raised in a church that was very unliturgical. It wasn't until I was a sizable age that our pastor put on the robe for the first time. And then when I came home and saw that he had not only put on a black robe, but he had put a white robe on top of it. Some of the old fathers came to me and said, are we getting to be like the Catholics? See, there was a lot of emphasis upon the liturgics. Because I have been raised in that informal way, I've had a lot of trying to adjust to some of this liturgical emphasis. Now today, we got high churchly, or we got liturgical, at least more than we at once were. And now some are saying, this is not the way that you communicate the gospel. The best way to communicate the gospel, at least to a certain generation or a certain group of people, is the contemporary worship service. That's why on Sunday night we have a contemporary worship service. You don't think I have difficulty administering communion to people walking in shots? I do. That just doesn't go down with me. But I know there's nothing wrong with it. The problem isn't with those people who come in shorts. The problem is what I have. I can't adjust to it. Well, I can adjust to it. I am adjusting to it. I do go through it. But it's a little difficult for me. You know why? I was raised in this way that when you get an invitation to a very, very respectable place, like the White House, to have lunch with President Clinton, what would you do? You'd go out and probably buy a new suit or a new dress, wouldn't you? And now you're coming to the table of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wouldn't you put on the very best that you had for him? See, that's the way I was raised. Absolutely, that was the only way. Today we change it. The sacrament hasn't changed. There's nothing wrong with what we're doing. That's just a human tradition that is changing. Music has changed. Because through that green hymn book, 50% of those hymns I don't know. I would never dare to choose them. I'd get run out of town. What are you doing choosing hymns like that? I can't sing them. Not hard for me not to choose them. And at one time, they were the popular hymns in the old German church. That has changed. The position of women in our church has changed. I recall as a lad going, perhaps I told you this, going to an annual meeting on a Sunday afternoon where they debated whether or not a woman could vote in the congregation. Today, one of the bishops of the Evangelical Lutheran Church is a woman. Is there anything wrong with it? No. The Word of God has not changed. Those were only little rules that we had that guided us. And they can be adjusted at any time. I believe it's this week, convention of the Evangelical Lutheran Church begins in Kansas City. And we should keep this in our prayer. They'll make some changes down there. Some of us will shake our heads, reacting because of our age, probably. We'll weather the storm somehow, some way. Only if they do not change anything that pertains to the Word of God. Then you get fired up. There are many things that can change. The Word of God does not change. People have tried to change it, and it has always been disastrous. Let's go back to the gospel. That doesn't change either. For example, why did our Lord Jesus Christ come to this earth, and who is he? The New Testament makes it very clear that Jesus Christ is the divine Son of God and the Savior of the world. Jesus is not only a human being, Jesus is God, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. He is the one who has come, the God incarnate. Why did he come? For one primary purpose, to suffer and to die on a cross as a payment for the sins of the world. God did not need another prophet. John the Baptist was a good prophet. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, some of the rest of them, they were good prophets. But he had to come in the person of his son, Jesus Christ, to suffer and to die on a cross to pay the price for the sins of the world. That never changes. Can't change. The resurrection. On the third day, he rose again physically from the dead and showed his nail-pierced hands to his disciples. Physically. He is the risen Lord. He reigns forever. That's the gospel. Cannot change. The gospel is presented to us every Sunday, I pray, from our pulpits, where you hear again and again that God has come, has paid the price for our sins in the person of Jesus suffering and death at the cross of Calvary, has been raised again, and if you, by the grace of God, will receive him into your life, you have the forgiveness of your sins and you are restored into fellowship with God. That cannot change. Cannot change the absolutes. Thou shalt not. Many don't understand it. They cannot change. Now, there are those who have tried to change it. You know what they did? For example, on the person of Jesus Christ, they said, let's get away from this, that he's the divine Son of God. And out went the dogma of the virgin birth, and out went the conception of the Holy by the Holy Spirit. Let's get away from that, and let's teach what human beings who have been highly educated can comprehend with their peanut minds and believe. That Jesus is a great moral influence. The old theologian Abelard thought he had really a revelation when he could again rationalize the person of Christ and the work of Christ. And Jesus was not the divine redeemer, he was just a great teacher. Listen to him referred to in our day. They took the message of his suffering and dying for the sins of the world, and they said that was not really to pay the price for man's transgression, but that was really to show his conviction and call men and women to die for their conviction. They took the matter of the resurrection and they said it was not physical, it was only spiritual. They took the whole doctrine of the human being and they said the human being is not really born in sin. The human being is basically born good. He or she does not need to be transformed, they need to be reformed. They changed it. And now, they're after changing some of the ethics. I know we wear it out. But the sixth commandment continues to stand. Thou shalt not commit adultery. You know what that means, friend? And I'm going to be very pointed with you here. Because I think I speak in behalf of my colleagues on the staff here. That means no. No sexual relationship outside of marriage. That's not Homer Larson's theology. That's a word of God. Cannot change. Cannot be adjusted. If you think that it's a happy time for us to sit in our studies and make plans for a wedding where people have been cohabitating, you're mistaken. Because that cohabitation is sin. Sin. It does not change. Can I make it clearer? We have developed a society where that's just one of the things of the day. I don't mean that it has not always been here, but it has not been condoned as it is condoned today. And if I speak to any of you who are living that way, you're sinning. That's wrong. It's also wrong to break the first commandment. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. We can't adjust that. And I plan to preach on that the next time that I'm in the pulpit. We can't adjust that. We can't adjust that and say, well, I can put this before God. I can put that before God. I can put my recreation before God. I can put my money before God. I can put all this before God. That's sin. That message does not change, friend. There are those who tried to change the message of the law and the gospel. And those churches are all but done. All but gone. You can ride through the countryside and they don't exist, really. Oh, they still have a worship service. But there are not very many there. If you really want to see that, go back to my native New England. The old parish church has become the museum. And I'm afraid, unless things turn around, that could be the plight of mainline Protestantism. God's word doesn't change. Many don't understand it. But let me hurry on to say, isn't it good? Isn't it really good that it doesn't change? Wouldn't it have been awful if the cardinal had said to those panelists, I think we can make some adjustments? Then there would be no basis. Then there would be no way that I could build my life upon the rock. How good it is that you and I could watch our old grandparents. I remember especially my grandfather sitting there singing those old hymns, centered in that one great truth: Jesus has died for my sin. And he taught it to his children, and they taught it to me, and I teach it to my children and to my grandchildren, believing that if I could come back to this earth 100 years from now, the same message would be taught in the Sunday school. Jesus died for you. Man, I tell you, people, there have been a lot of times that I've had the privilege to stand right there beside a person just minutes, sometimes seconds, before they breathe that last breath. To get down, dramatically speaking, by their bedside and whisper into their ears, listen, Jesus has said, I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also, Pete. That's a promise. He's going to come. Just minutes now, he's coming to get you. I hope and pray that when I breathe my last breath, somebody will be there to whisper into my ear that same gospel. For that's all that will count. What little one might have accomplished, what little one might have, becomes the adiaphora. But the message, he's coming to get you, that doesn't change. And so Cardinal John Foley was a tremendous blessing to me last Sunday, a great blessing. Because as I live in this world and you live in it, I need to be affirmed and reaffirmed. God's word, friend. It doesn't change. And I hope that at least parts of this sermon could be a blessing to you, as Cardinal Foley's message was to me. Amen.
This has been Homer Larson Live, a series of sermons preached from the pulpit at Nazareth Lutheran Church in Cedar Falls, Iowa, where Pastor Larson served from 1953 to 1996, and published by Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry, where Pastor Larson was a broadcast preacher from 1962 to 2013. In addition to this series, many of Pastor Larson's radio programs dating back to the early 2000s are archived on the CC Broadcast, which is available for free wherever you're listening to this. Besides the CC Broadcast, our weekly radio program, Christian Crusaders also hosts the CC Podcast, Daily Dose Devotions, where we've archived hundreds of devotions on our way through the entire Bible, and the CC Podcast Conversations, which includes dozens of inspiring interviews with interesting Christians. Please see the show notes for links to all these free resources, or visit ccpodcasts.com for more information. We want to give a very special thanks to our series sponsor, Western Home Communities and Fresh Wind Ministry. Western Home Communities began in the early 1900s as, quote, the Western Old People's Home, quote, a home for the aged. started by the Evangelical Association in one of that denomination's western states, which happened to be Iowa, more specifically, Cedar Falls, Iowa. Since then, a second campus has been added with 150 acres for villas, independent and assisted living, and nursing communities. Today, Western Home Communities remains a charitable Christian service organization that assertively creates fulfilling lifestyles for those they serve. You can learn more at westernhomecommunities.org. Fresh Wind Ministry provides Christ-centered spiritual care and programming within the Western Home Communities. They focus on building trusting relationships with residents, staff, and their families. Chaplains visit, counsel, and walk alongside residents in all levels of care offered by Western Home Communities, including hospitalizations, crisis, and end-of-life care. Fresh Wind Worship has services in the Diamond Event Center every Sunday at 10:30 a.m., which can be viewed on Facebook and YouTube. For more information, visit westernhomecommunities.org/freshwind. Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry is fully donor-funded. If you'd like to support our work, you can do so online at christiancrusaders.org or by mailing a check to Christian Crusaders, 7401 University Avenue, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Also, feel free to email us with questions or for more information about this episode or any of our other programs. You can send emails to info@christiancrusaders.org. Thanks for listening, and may God richly bless you.